come and help her while they have sorcerers. He lives in the mother and daddy's house. Of course, the mother is in a nursing and Alzheimer's disease. And she, I don't know whether the people know that one or not. Do you? I don't know either.
I don't know. Did your family talk about owning slaves?
Huh?
Did your family talk about owning slaves?
Owning what?
Slaves.
No, didn't have slaves then.
No, but before you were born.
Oh, yeah, they had slaves after they, they had slaves after my son, when we lived in Henderson when he was about 4 years old, and the people next door to, she was a lot younger than him, and I don't know what happened to him.
You were telling me something about what your earliest memory was. Do you remember?
When I went to the cemetery for my baby boy, my baby boy was, when it died, and he went to the cemetery, and of course it's just across the road. And we got over there, and when we started home, of course, we walked over there, and when we started home, my daddy said, "Sister, you sure do walk slow." I said, "Well, as fast as I can." I said, "You know what I did? I got up and put both drawers in the same leg."
Back then, did they have a car to take the casket over to the cemetery?
They had not a car. Had a hearse, which is what they called a car. They had it to the cemetery.
But it had a motor. It wasn't pulled by horses.
No, they didn't have a motor, I don't know. The first time I ever rode a car, I went down to the surface people's house that came close to us. It was our rent house. And the girl down there that I played with, she was a lot younger than me. I went down there, and this is the first time I rode in the car. I went down there, and I said, "Well, I'm going to ride in the car with you." And I didn't know who it was. It was a doctor. Didn't nobody else have a car. It was a doctor. So I got up there to that pine tree. And I said, "Let me out now before you get up in the house. Because Mama killed me if she knew I'd been riding in the car."
There weren't too many cars at that time, is that right? There were not too many cars.
No, nobody had a car but the doctor.
Okay.
And see, this was a doctor. Well, I didn't know who doctor was, but I just rode with him anyhow.
You walked to church. If you needed to go somewhere else, how did you get there?
I didn't go.
Okay.
You remember what year this was? About what time of year? You remember the year?
It is 1930. That's when we lived down on the farm. We didn't go anywhere else, I don't think. I don't think we did.
Okay, well, let me ask you again. Is there anything else you would like to tell us before we leave?
Well, I don't know.
why do you go to the Baptist church?
Because I was always a Baptist.
Were your parents Baptist?
My mom was Baptist.
Okay.
Your children were also?
And my son lives in San Francisco. He's expecting another baby. But he's the oldest one I got.
Uh-huh.
My oldest grandson. Uh-huh.
So you don't have any children in Lufkin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I got a sister here, and she's laying up in the bed right now.
Okay.
And like I was before we got up, went to dinner. I said, what am I doing here?
Does she live out here also? Mm-hmm. Does your sister live here?
Yeah, she lives out there. Right where she was born. I mean, that first, she's lived there all this time. But she, she used to peddle groceries and everything. She worked for another company, and so she said, I'd go in business for myself. And she handled those real stuff, you know. And she's got a bad black kitty, and so have I.
Is she younger than you?
10 years younger.
10 years, okay.
Right. And I'm a whole lot stronger than she is.
Okay.
She can't, one eye she can't see out of it. And I went to the doctor last year, and he said, you got perfect eyesight for somebody your age.
That's good. Good.
I don't know what else to say. Of course, I didn't know any of my kids, my uncles, but my daddy knew the one that lived longer than Grandma did, and his name was Purvoy. P-U-R-B-O-U-R. But I didn't know him. He talked about it because he was older than him. And when they were young, I told you about them owns, how much they own. But I knew one of his sisters, and he had a grocery store up there where I don't know what's there now, but he used to be, his name was Gunter. And they never had any children. And Mr. Hicks on that other one, my daddy didn't buy from his grandson, he bought it from Mr. Hicks, because Mr. Hicks was a mason.
Years ago, there was a part of Lufkin uptown, just about where the courthouse is now, that was called Spit and Whittle.
What?
Spit and Whittle. Do you know why it was called that?
Because that's where the masons come to spit again. But my daddy used to park up there, just had a buggy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd go up there and park up there, and across the street was where the Masonic Lodge used to be.
Mm-hmm. What street was this?
First Street.
Okay. Courthouse is now?
I think the courthouse is on Third. This was on First.
It's on First, okay. Yeah, First. Yeah.
Can you tell me anything about how the businesses have changed in Lufkin?
How big it been?
How the, like, now we have a super Walmart. Back then you had maybe a little grocery store. How have businesses changed?
Ooh, they have changed. If my daddy could see it up here, he'd say, what am I? It'd just be... It'd be surprising. Yeah.
Can you tell us something in terms of the change? What kind of changes have you seen?
Oh, it's development. Development.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he just said, where am I? Mm-hmm.
Back before you were born, there was a man hung in Cotton Square. Did you hear anyone talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
You remember? I can remember when the hammer had left you too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you tell us something about that?
Oh, well, I don't know. When I sure wasn't going down that street.
did you know anybody who was hanged? Mm-hmm. What about the a while back in 1941, there was a person who was killed in the courthouse.
With what?
Was killed in the courthouse.
Yeah.
Can you remember that?
No, I don't remember nothing about that. Okay. That was the year my oldest daughter was born.
Okay. But what was in the newspaper? You don't remember reading about it either? This guy was killed in the courthouse?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Now, we have been told this by someone else, and we were just trying to find out as much information as we could about it.
I don't know who it had been. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I tell you what I've got for this new invasion and all that. I put it up. I said, I'm going to save that for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
What is the most exciting event that ever happened in your life?
Mm-hmm.
The most exciting thing that ever happened in your life?
I don't know.
You don't know. What's the worst thing that ever happened to you?
I guess when I lost my mother. When my mother died, I had my mother, his mother and daddy, all in the nursing home, taking care of all of them, and work too.
And how old were you when your mother died?
I can't remember.
Okay,
well.
I guess that's all I know.
All right, well, I want you to know this, though, Mrs. Courtney. We do appreciate you giving us this kind of information.
I'm glad to do it.
And it tells us some things that we didn't know. And
well, she didn't know all that either.
No.
Where are you from?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
You are?
Yeah.
No wonder you know so much about D.C.
And one of the reasons, see, I'm not from Lufkin either.
Oh,
and,
you're not?
No, I like to learn more about Lufkin. I've done this with some other persons where I can learn more about the place that I live now. But
well, you know where Lufkin Land is. Now, that high place there on Lufkin Land, the high place there belongs to Uncle Dick Knight. And Uncle Dick Knight was my... He wasn't kidding me, but he was, I don't know what he did, but anyhow, it's the highest place there, and they've got a nursing home, a mobile home like that now, and his son used to live next door to him, and I've been knowing him all these years, and, and he's not dead now. He's dead now.
What was his name?
Uncle Dick Knight. You see,
Dick Knight.
Dick Knight.
Okay.
And my oldest brother was named after him. And they called him Uncle Dick. And they owned a place at one of Papa's oldest boy was the brightest young man I ever saw. And he was 96 when he died. And I got a few years ago yet.
Well, we hope you make those years and more and more and more.
Well, I went to the doctor last year and said I had the best eyes he ever saw on anybody my age.
Well, I guess whatever you're doing, you need to keep doing that then. Well, I appreciate letting us come talk to you. We've learned some things, and as I said, I can take this tape and somebody else can learn from it also. We both work.
Oh, that'd be all right. Me, I don't care.
Okay, then I appreciate this very much. I really do appreciate it.
when Miss Kirkendall died and I started talking to you, we really talked about income. Mm-hmm. And what I wasn't sure about generally was, you know, you have investments with IDS. And I wasn't sure what all that was invested in. So what I say, you know, what you told me was basically, right now you may not need this money for 4 or 5 years, or it may be longer. Mm-hmm. The market was down pretty drastically then. Mm-hmm. I thought it's dropped further since then. But deep in my heart, I still feel like we've pretty much gone in at a good time. In other words, if we'd have gone in the market 2.5 to 3 years ago, when the Dow was at an all-time high of 12,007. Now remember, I'm telling you, the Dow today is over 8,300, but it's been as low as 7,200. That index of those 30 stocks got up to 12,700 in April of 2000, somewhere around. Well, if we could have bought into the market, you know, in that period of time, and a lot of people did, they bought when it was way up here. There was a lot of risk in buying way up here. You would be down 40 to 60% generally, you know, in your account if you'd have bought that far back. Now, they ran a survey when the market was over 12,000. If somebody had $1,000, would they put it in the market? The majority of the people said, yeah, I'd buy now. Market's going up. They ran the same survey in September of, would you put any money in the market now? The market's way down. Majority of the public said no. But here's what happened. You know, here's the irony in that. This is probably 2 or 3 years from now. People's going to look back at 2002 and say that was one of the best buying opportunities in a long time. Why? Because everybody's negative. The market's down. You know, some people think the world's going to end. And I mean, the world will one of these days. I believe that. But I don't think I know when it's going to end. And right now, you know, people say, well, Robert, why are you so optimistic in the future? And I'm an old country boy, and I come up with this. And it's not all this, but I'm saying it's simple to me. Is there still more people willing to get into this country? I don't talk to anybody who would believe it. You see what I'm saying? It's still the best economy in the world. And I don't think that's going to change real, you know, just overnight. So we may get in a war. We may not. But the point is, it's still the best economy in the world. So the opportunity to make money in the next 5 or 6 years, to me, is a very, you know, there's a good opportunity. Because these are the lowest prices we've seen in 7, 8 to 10 years.
And you do not see a crash, as we once had years ago. But I mean, that is something that could happen, but no one is looking forward to something like that. And there is no indication
that's possible. I mean, you know, the closest that made me think crash, okay, it's been a poor market for over 2.5 years. But 9/11, you know, a little over a year ago, when I hit the tower, I mean, they hit Wall Street there. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in history, I mean, the market never closes down more than a couple of days. First time in history, I mean, they hit the computers and they close the market for 4 days. I mean, there's a total of the weekend, 5 or 6 days, no market. And probably part of the reason they did that, it turned out to be a good decision. There was a lot of panic. You know what I mean?
People, yes, sure.
Which was understandable. Nobody knew what was going to happen. When you panic, first thing you want to do is get out of the market. You know, that's a panic sale. But what happened when the market opened up on that fifth day, it dropped somewhere between 800 and 900 points that day. The largest drop I'd seen since 1987, you know, for 1 day drop. And now it went down a little bit, I believe, the next day. In a week, though, it started coming back up. Got up to about back where it dropped from. So what's amazing, you had 9/11. It recovered in 2 to 3 weeks. And on top of that, if that's happening in September, 3 or 4 months later, you have the MRI scandal. Okay, that hurts the market again. Because confidence went down. Not long thereafter, WorldCom gets dishonesty. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The point is, everything, things I couldn't even think of, have been thrown at this market in the last year or so. I mean, things that nobody could have predicted. 9/11, these scandals, one after another. Amazingly, Mr. Perkinoff. I mean, to me, I was amazed that the market just didn't fall a lot worse because, you know, the lack of confidence that we had in the economy. But now, even now, with all this bad, we've got a growth in the economy. They're predicting around 3%. Well, 3% growth is what most economists would think is excellent. What we don't have right now that's holding us back is corporate spending is down. The individual, we consumers, are still spending money, believe it or not.
Okay, you say corporate spending is out. There's a fear of something?
Well, what happened, thinking, I'm going to go back a little further. You know, when, remember Y2K?
Mm-hmm.
And the fear that came about on that. Probably we're having Y2K 3 years later, or a year later than it should, and it's not for the reason people thought. Y2K was basically, it was a computer glitch that would not, you know, a lot of computers were set up to go to 1999 and not turn over to 2000.
Right.
It sounds small, but it could have been, I mean, it could have messed up a lot of things. Well, all these big corporations, and I'm a little bitty business here, okay, but even in this little business, that last year in 99, we must have bought at least 4 new computers, which is very unusual for me to do that. But what I wanted to make sure of is that we didn't run into any glitch on our system for the changeover. So we made sure our programming and everything was updated. And, you know, my penance I spent was a lot of money to me. It wasn't like what an Exxon did.
Right.
Well, almost every corporate, not almost, all the major corporations in the world, about 3 years before that date, started changing their systems. They waited till, you know, some of them waited till 99. Why did they wait so long? Because it was a very expensive change. And they didn't make any money off of it. It's a pure expense. You see what I'm saying? So what we didn't think about, one reason that computer stocks went up so much from 98 to 99 is everybody was replacing their computers and updating. Plus new programming, new software. Everybody was trying to make sure that come 12/31, we get into January 1, 2000, they weren't going to have a problem. Okay. Well, that was a lot of money spent for 2 or 3 years. And it drove the stock market up. All this buying created a lot of buying.
Right.
Well, normally, statistics say that General Motors of the world, the IBM of the world, when they make a major computer change and do an update like that, you normally don't spend a lot on technology for 3 to 6 years there. You know what I'm saying? You don't make those kind of expenditures. Well, what's happened is everything was updated. And there hadn't been a lot of buying or borrowing going on for corporations. On top of this, 9/11 and this corporate scandals put a lot of folks out of business. The other thing that happened, you know, just the internet, all this dot-com business, some of that, there was little businesses popping up everywhere, businesses that we never heard of, that weren't making any money. But individual investors, they call them venture capitalists, was loaning a lot of money. It didn't come from banks. It came from big individuals, you know, billionaires out there, loaning little guys money because these little guys had some good ideas that they thought they could turn into a big profit. When you loan that kind of money, it's very risky. It's kind of like for every dollar you invest in that, you stand a chance of losing that dollar, or you could get 1,000% return if you get the right invention, so to speak. But 87% of those little businesses went broke, and the problem started at the end of 2000, went on into 2001. So there's a lot of creative people out there looking for a job. I call the big companies the big boys, hired some of these expensive people pretty cheap. They had good ideas, but they still hadn't had to build their inventories back up. You know what I mean? Because the economy is slow. So we should be on the verge, unless something major happened nobody can predict, that corporations are going to start making money. You know, their profits should start getting better within the next 6 months to a year. And you're going to see them borrow money. There'll be more demand for money. When that happens, you'll see interest rates go up.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. And the idea of people not having confidence is based on pretty much what you just finished saying. Mm-hmm. Now, how does the confidence come back to the investor?
It won't come back overall until you see the corporations steadily making profits again. You know, right now, the last quarter was not that bad, okay, for profits. But it wasn't that good either. You know, some of them made money, some of them lost money. Until we get on a quarterly basis that you see the majority of your, and when I say corporations, I'm just talking about your big businesses out there, turning that bottom line around to a more steady figure to this, you're not going to get the confidence back. And I mean, I think we're within a year of it. I can't put that on the Bible for it, but there's a lot of things happening, like, housing market is still very good. That's kind of against the grain. That's held up pretty well through all this. Technology spending, like I was talking about, it's still down. You know, there's not, technology stocks are still not doing that good. But basically, you see companies like General Electric, whose stock is down 65-70%. They're predicting profits next year, just not as much as they normally make. But the thing about it, they are predicting earnings and you're not losing the banks in general. Okay, thank you.
So the key is, could the key word be F-E-A-R? Uncertainty, whichever word you choose to use?
Fear has helped drive the market down. And I go to this, it's kind of like the sniper out here in Montgomery County. Bad situation. Well, let me tell you what he's done. He's hurt a local economy there.
Yeah.
Because people aren't going out and spending much money. They're staying at home.
Scared to go out, period.
So my point is, fear is bringing that local economy down for a good reason. I'm not trying to make fun, but it's a lack of confidence. And can you catch this guy? Because it's been going on so long.
And this morning he's asked for $10 million.
Right. So I'm using that as an example worldwide. That's what fear and changing your habits brings market down. Let me tell you, saving, I believe, people don't save enough. But when the economy's not doing good, it's real interesting what we do. We draw in our horns. And the further we draw in our horns in spending, the worse the economy's going to do. What has driven this economy for the last, especially the last 10 years, is an exorbitant amount of spending. You know, people spending, making more than they have, spending more than they ever have. Also, we're in the midst of these baby boomers are from about 41 is the caboose there to about 56. That's the front end of the baby boomers. And I mean, there's a ton of people from 41 to 50 years old. That's your real bulk of population. So that tells me those folks still generally are making more money than their fathers and mothers did. Generally, okay. and there's more of them. And I think that the economy should come back, and we should hold on to a decent economy unless we get into a war that we can't predict, to maybe 2008, 2010. After that, the problem I see is those 41-year-olds are going to be up in their 50s, and there's not nearly the number of people behind them. It's going to be a real test on Social Security, and you know what I mean? I think then is probably on somebody like us, I wouldn't have any money in the market back then, because I think we stand a chance of going down and staying down in the market pretty flat for 14, 15 years until we see what's going to, how this is going to be digested with all these retirees. We've never had in America's history more people retire than you did work in. And that's going to happen in the next 15 years. And that's, and the government's kind of blinking their eyes at it. Nobody, everybody says they're going to do something. And what they're doing is they're, I mean, I call it fear. You know, they say, well, one party's going to take away your Social Security, one party's going to give you Social Security. The thing about it, if they promise too much, there's no party, there's no people. They can't tax you enough to carry it. You know, those folks behind us can't pay enough taxes to carry that home, unless they tax our whole paycheck. I think that's going to happen. So somewhere, the government itself has to draw on its horns and say, you know, there's just so much we can tax people on. Now, I might be wrong.
I'm hearing what you're saying.
15 years from now, I'm going to be more concerned about our economy. Not that I'm not concerned today, but I mean, we're going to have problems that have never, that the government's never been able to face right now.
I have a statement that I make, and I don't think it would fly anyplace. Mm-hmm. Let's just suppose that we had zero political parties. To somebody, that statement wouldn't make sense. Somewhere, as I think we've tied ourselves into, we've always had them, first of all, and I can't operate unless I attach myself to one two major groups, and every now and then there's minor groups too.
Yeah.
I can't begin to think for me. Mm-hmm. I need somebody to do it for me. But for somewhere, as, I don't know, maybe common sense, I don't know, but I think we have to believe that both parties care, but they're in competition with each other,
right.
And they tell lies on each other.
Right. It's both sides, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that drives the people who, maybe non-political, not even interested, but they learn about their monies. And as a result of that, I find myself getting that with a particular group who sounds good. Yeah, I don't even know.
You know, I try not to get politics too deep, but I just voted yesterday.
That's what I got to go through that.
And people too. Said, how you vote? Well, I kind of know. I vote some Democrats, some Republicans. I mean, if I've got a feeling for the problem, I don't care what anybody says, I've never just went up there and I call it pulling the handle for one party.
But it's hard to get people to stop and think.
People don't think like that. Now, I mean, the parties themselves are trying to say, you got to carry this party, because if you don't, this is going to happen, and vice versa. When I really believed back in the 40s and 50s, there was a lot of bad things. But politically, I never thought Democrat or Republican. Of course, I was just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think Democrat or Republican when I was in my early 20s. Because we get information on who was running. You know what I'm saying? Well, the 40s and 50s. Let's go back to you. 40s and 50s, it was not fair to you at all. We had segregation and all this. The point is, here's what I think we do as Americans. We all do. Black, white, yellow, green, brown, I'm not talking about rights.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what do we do. The government is never proactive, it's usually reactive.
Sure.
And I think about integration. Bad deal. Slavery, you know, all this is bad. But here we do. We pass a law. we're gonna make it right today. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, you can't change something. You can't change minds in 24 hours. You follow me? So what we've done, we've gotten better, but we still get bogged down in the negative. You know what I'm saying? Whereas generally, most people, black, yellow, green, or white, if we're sitting down looking at each other in the eyeball, if we got a problem, if we're decent at all, and we respect one another, it's going to get worked out. And I don't care how many laws you pass, you can't make...
You can't legislate you can't love, make, bottom
you
line.
You can't do that. And I mean, that's what I'm discovering. So I think about every time something happens, I think of the sniper there. They're already talking about changing laws. Well, my gosh, we got a ton of law. I mean, I don't know how many laws they got in Maryland and Washington, but I know they got a ton of them. But what you got to have is you got to have it from the heart, and you got to have people really interested in change. You know what I'm saying? But a law, let me tell you, the best laws we got are the Ten Commandments.
That's what I was about to say. The law that man has made is thicker than the Bible.
That's right. Thicker than the Bible.
And we can understand that the Bible gets difficult for us at times, and we wait until somebody up here helps us to understand, we can see it. But it changes for one thing, and sometimes it changes for the wrong reason. It gives me a more favorable thing as it, I know this is still
involved
right. because we can't leave those kind of things. We're talking about people and things. They do go together. If we want it to go together, we can have our own reasons for not accepting something only because, now it doesn't have to make sense to me. It's just that I agree with somebody else and somebody agrees with me. So therefore, and I read Sound Off every morning. And
yeah.
I look at, I don't blame people for not signing their name to sign stuff and find a Sound Off.
It's pretty painful.
Yes, you know. So it carries itself right over into the economy. And I express the same kind of things. This point it doesn't do this. This point it doesn't do that. It has been said through the years that when the Democrats are in office, we would have wars. So when we have wars, the economy builds itself because you start spending. Well, here we have a change right now. Just if that statement were true, right now we have a change. Republicans are there, and there's the threat of. But where's the economy change? Will it change once we go to war? Well, right now there's a lot of money being spent and with the thought that it's going to have to happen. Is it not turning over to the people? I guess not.
Because there's uncertainty.
Yes.
Fear and uncertainty. Uncertainty is a type of fear because things I'm uncertain about,
that's right.
It makes me afraid to make a decision.
This is true.
Not many people like to admit that, but that's the truth.
Well, it does.
You know, that's the reason when you were a principal, if there was a book that you could go to and say, this is the way to handle every situation in life, everybody could be a principal.
That's
you
true.
Know what
that's
I'm
true.
Saying?
But because what people would be indifferent.
Right? You got paid for making decisions.
Yes. And hopefully the right ones.
Right. But if you make enough decisions, you're going to miss some every now and then.
Yeah.
They're going to be honestly missed, but my point is, there's no perfection in this world. But that's what I'm saying, though. The more uncertain you were, the harder that decision was made. And if most of us, I'm putting myself in this.
Right.
When I'm uncertain, it takes me longer to pull the trigger, so to speak.
See, even in that case, I felt that we had an escape because, as I would say, maybe I can cut this off, but at any rate, I would explain to parents that,
Charles Schwab is who we've chosen to clear through, so to speak.
Okay.
In other words, we're gonna keep up with what you need, but we want to buy through them because they've made us the best deal out there, and we can buy most every fund that we want to buy there through Charles Schwab. Okay.
Over reading it, I think about it, the direct way of reading it, I can understand it better because I look at it. I think this is just only one entity, I guess, because this report in itself. Now, this is speaking of what?
Okay. this right here says, okay, here's where we started at that point. This is year to date. Where did you, this is where your balance stands on 9/30/02. What they're showing you here, total contributions. Well, those contributions started in June, so we opened up the account in 5/23 and started transferring money gradually in.
Mm-hmm.
We put a total in there, $21,380.24. In the last 30-day period, or this is year to date, there's just been some dividends paid in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not looking for dividends. We're really trying to get growth is what we're doing.
Right.
But there's a few dividends paid on those mutual funds. So right here it says there's been a change in the value to the negative. We put in 21,380, which I was telling
right.
you about a while
right.
ago, but we're down 14,59.63, which is 19,920.
Okay, and that's my bottom line, because each
right.
month when I get them, I can
right.
look here
now,
and see where.
See, through yesterday, that 19,920 is up almost $400. You see what I'm saying?
As of
that
yesterday?
Balance, as of yesterday, is up to 20,315. You know, it's a moving target,
yeah.
so to speak.
Okay, and I do get this.
Yeah, you'll be receiving, if you hadn't got this yet, we just mail them out.
Yeah, I did, because
what we do, what we try to do is give you a report, because they're not giving you
Moss,
the total
is
return.
Is that one?
Right.
He's the one in the last
mm-hmm.
book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this
Chris, my stepson.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the last one I got. I'm sure he was getting to mail them. Is that the latest?
Yeah, that's it right there. So what this is telling you, this is a report that you really need to look at, because that this pie chart is basically saying, here's how we have the money allocated. Okay.
Okay.
We've got some international, which is the Artisan International Fund.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the balance in that particular fund is $697.25. Okay. That's how much we put into that fund. It's down $127.75 as of that day. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is telling you. And it goes over each, we're in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 funds. And then we still have some money in cash in a money market. You know, that we haven't invested in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Because we gradually invested this money. We just didn't pick a day and say we're putting it all in. We've been investing the money since June up through now, and we still have some money to invest. I mean, the money market's not earning
this back. Says gain.
It says unrealized gains or loss. Remember, it says unrealized because we hadn't sold. In other words, if we sold it on this day, this particular fund, we'd lose $127.75. If we sold this fund on that particular day, we'd lose $200.
Okay, so there was no action here.
Right,
so
there's no action here because there's no, it's just paying interest of about 1.5%. You know, it's just an interest-bearing account. So it's not going to change unless we buy into
this
something.
Is my lost column when I look at
right,
it.
Right, right, right. It could be gain. You know, you can look at it next quarter and it may gain all the way. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, I see it says gain, loss.
Right.
So this
parentheses is telling
tell
you
it's loss.
Right. Okay, now that tells you each fund, and that pie chart just tells you how much of the,
the 21
things.
Stuff that's been
right.
high.
So we've got 27.8% in a money market, which is just cash and what we call cash equivalents.
Mm-hmm.
Fixed income would be more bond type stuff.
So we're saying that this is just sitting there right now, and this is where investments
right,
are
right, right.
Okay.
We originally had all the money in the money market, but over the last 4 or 5 months, we've been taking out of the money market and buying into these funds. You see what I'm saying?
So this is like a cushion.
That's right. That's just a cushion, and if we sell something, we'll go back into the money market. You know,
okay.
What happens is we're trying to keep certain percentages in each one of these sectors, so to speak.
Okay, and if it became a need, I could always pull from there.
You sure can. You sure can. And let's see, now going back to here, that's your last fund there. There's another fund, PEMCO total return, that's a bond fund. But that gives you your cost basis is dividends and everything added back. That may, you know, that's going to be more than your original balance, because when it pays interest or dividends, we add it to your cost basis.
Okay, and this one was the one that was one thing yesterday.
It's a different thing today. It's $20,315. That's what, if we'd have, the value, like for selling purposes, if you said, I want my money back, mm-hmm. and we sold it on that very minute, that day, that's what it was worth on September the 30th, okay? But as of October the 22nd, it's come back some.
At this time.
It could be tomorrow, it could be down some. You see what I'm saying? Okay. It's a moving target all the time.
Well, really, at this time, this could be down too.
Right.
This time,
right.
of day, since this is where dollars have started.
Right. But you see what I'm saying? It's a picture of your accounts at that point in time. Think of it as a Kodak picture.
Well,
right,
it's
there.
Just a moving target. That's right.
And you know what we try to do is we just keep breaking it down. This is where you need to look a lot, because time weighted, once again, the total portfolio. This is what you're down. Mm-hmm. This is what we grade ourselves against. You see what I'm saying? These other indexes. It should